right, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, we get with some brain trust extraordinaire, Brother Johnny in Houston, Texas.
Welcome, partner.
And Mike Ditka in Chicago, headed to Connecticut with a whole bunch of NFL games tomorrow and Sunday night, Monday night. We'll get into that in just a moment. Mike, how are you?
We're good. You're very good, Steve.
All right, here we go with the first thing I wanted to talk about. The president on 60 Minutes. This part did not actually air on broadcast television, but was on the internet in the full version and has caused some people to scratch their chin regarding the comment the president made about the legislation that they have passed and what he has accomplished in his first 3 years.
I would put our legislative and foreign policy accomplishments in our first 2 years against any president, with the possible exceptions of Johnson, FDR, and Lincoln. But, just in terms of what we've gotten done in modern history.
Good to be confident, Johnny.
Well, he's in there. He says with the exception, but he's up there with Lincoln, FDR, and LBJ. Well, you know.
Wow.
I don't know, Mike. I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, I don't either, and I don't think a lot of other people do either. But, you know, when you're president, you can say a lot of things, and some people listen, some don't, and some read into what they want to read into it. So, you know, it'll probably pass, and people say, geez, you know, they have done a good job foreign policy-wise. Well, who knows?
Well, they passed a lot of things, and I think he does match LBJ with the Great Society, doesn't he?
Well, look, he's got the legislative achievement. What's that defined as? I mean, if you count a cataclysmic health care bill that he rammed through by using hundreds of millions of our dollars to bribe legislative voters, I mean, that's in a class by himself.
How do you do that?
I don't know if Lincoln would have done that.
You said bribe. How do you do that?
Well, he just offered, for instance, Mary Landrieu with Louisiana came at $250 to $300 million worth of benefits for Louisiana.
Wow.
Now, it wasn't for her,
right,
but she changed her vote. And the guy in Nebraska, the same thing, openly. But that's not the democratic process. That's not fair. What about all the other states who were going to vote for it anyway? They ought to get $300 million, and then mm-hmm. you're another $2 trillion down. But, you know, let's check it out, Steve. Think about Lincoln, you know. Through his leadership during the Civil War, he held the Union together. And our president seems to be driving the Union apart with some sort of class warfare strategy that doesn't make any sense.
Mm.
And by the way, Lincoln's nickname was Honest Abe, and I haven't heard Honest Barack, but I guess that's still out there,
Mike. Maybe that's next.
That could be coming.
And what does it say anything about CBS when they didn't air that line on the broadcast part and conveniently edited it out?
Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you about that. So,
well, Mike, we wouldn't say they were biased, would we?
Well, I really don't understand it. If you made the statement, you ought to air it. I mean, why would you not air it?
Well, it was pretty compelling and poignant one, too, I thought. So.
Well, and if it was somewhat controversial, I'll bet you if a competitor on the Republican side had said something along those lines, it just made headlines.
But I think, I don't know about CBS being where they're at, what side they fall on. We know that CSNBC and all those MSNBC are so far to the left, it's ridiculous. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. And I think that, you know, you get a very very honest view from Fox, and that's why I watch it. I mean, they give you both sides. They may push a little bit more to the right, but they still give you both sides.
Well, Stevie, let's check out Roosevelt then. He led the nation out of the Depression.
Yeah.
And I think we're also at the pinnacle of world esteem after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And here our president, it looks like we're heading into a Depression. And I don't know if our respect globally has ever been lower right now.
Yeah.
So
and what,
I won't give him Lincoln or FDR.
Well, here's the only thing about that globally, John. Even though our respect might be down globally, there's nothing you can respect globally either. All these other countries are screwed up more than we are.
It is a two-way
talk
street.
About Italy, Greece, and England. I mean, they're all messed up. Come on.
Yeah. Middle East, yeah.
South America.
By the way, the debt total this morning, $15 trillion. $123 billion. So
you know one thing about that thing, it's not going to come down until you stop it. Then you can't keep spending. You got to somewhere along the way, you got to say time out. We got to stop this.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, I'll tell you something. Get back to his comparison. I'm gonna probably give him LBJ. I mean, there's a disastrous one-term president. He just wasn't able to manage the military as commander-in-chief very well, and he could not tell the truth. So We're going to give him 1 out of 3.
Okay. All right, 7:39, Brother Johnny Mike Ditka. All right, we move off to sports and the NFL. Oh, is Indianapolis goofing up their draft pick? They beat the Texans in the last second last night, Mike.
Oh, I don't think there's any problem at all. I mean, fellas, if Peyton Manning is healthy, he's going to play. I think the problem is if you think he's healthy, so you go a different direction, and the first time he's out there, he gets hit, he gets hurt. I mean, the injury comes back. So, I mean, you can throw the ball you want to. You can run. You can do a lot of exercising. But until you really have football contact and you get into, the real thing, I don't know how you're ever going to tell that neck is better. And it would be a tragedy if he went out there and it for some reason got severely injured because of it.
Well, and the Texans messing up their season, Steve, because you just can't go in, two down. But they were all excited, won their division, and they've lost two games.
Ooh.
But they've had quarterback problems too. So.
Well, you got Bears-Packers. That's Sunday night, Mike, and that's Bears going to try, Josh McGowan at quarterback. But after the Packers lost to Kansas City, I would expect the Packers to be pretty focused to beat the Bears.
Well, it doesn't matter. Steve, the Packers are really beat up physically. They have no offensive linemen. This is going to be a big problem for them going down the stretch now. This is kind of this is the worst-case scenario. Except for Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, you lose your offensive line, which protects Aaron Rodgers. So you don't have a good offensive line, you're going to have a lot of problems. And the Bears can still play defense, guys. I mean, we'll find out if they can play offense, but they can still play defense. We know that.
Well, and it's a Packer-Bear game, so throw out everything.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, and that's the way it should be.
I got a question, Coach. You got to play your own games, but the Saints do have a shot here, and if we could have just expected the Super Bowl Pittsburgh Steelers to handle San Fran, which is tough, we got that number two spot if we take care of business. And I'm watching, and you can tell me, but we've got Captain Ahab playing quarterback. I'll tell you, there's a threshold of physical ability, I think, that you have to have, and poor old Ben Roethlisberger could not walk. He could not move. I don't know why you try playing him the entire game when he was struggling so much on that leg and couldn't step into a throw. Still managed a bunch of yards, but I think there's 4 turnovers. I didn't think they were going to score the whole night, and they did kick a field goal. But there's a limit to me. But what do you think about playing a guy that's injured? Is it that bad on the backup?
Well, no, it really is an indictment against the backup and the fact that you don't have a lot of confidence. But I think Ben made that decision. I don't think the coach made it. He said he's flat enough. He's well enough to play, and he played. And that's absolutely, after watching him, I don't know. I don't think any of it was dramatic. I think he really had a problem, and because of that problem, it creates some inconsistencies for him. But let me say one thing: that the 49ers are a very interesting football team because they remind me really a lot of the '84 Bears when we were just starting to get good, and the way they play defense, is really, really good. And they had their best defensive player out last week in Willis, and they still played outstanding. So
they are good. I'll tell you what, that is not that.
And Jim Harbaugh is, they like him, and they're having fun playing football. And you start to open up the offense a little bit. I still think, when you look at the teams around the NFC right now, John, I'm not sure that the Saints don't have the best chance if, something crazy doesn't happen, because their offense, I don't know who the heck's going to stop it. I just don't know who's going to stop it unless you were in some kind of a blizzard or a rainstorm outside. If they get indoors, they're going to, they got an offense it's pretty potent.
Well, it'd be nice, of course, they're good, but they're better in that dome.
Yeah,
so, of course,
right.
I'm pulling for all.
But wouldn't that be something, Johnny, if it ended up, Saints in Green Bay just as we started the season?
Well, it could begin and end there in Lambeau Field.
Or begin, you lose the first one, and you win the second one.
There's a chance. Look, Mike's right. If we're on, it could be a blizzard, and that's going to be a problem for both teams. But if it's a
bad weather's not doesn't favor anybody.
Yeah. So, but a good day up there, sure, we could have won the first game, Steve.
Absolutely. I mean, it was very exactly what you're saying is when I look at these teams out there, and the same thing, we talk about New England. Well, they're the last or 31st team on defense. But when you're scoring 40 points, it really doesn't matter, does it?
Right.
I mean, you got to look at it realistically when you're, and that's what it took last week to beat Denver. Denver played pretty good. They got up to 23. I thought if they got to 23, they'd be able to win the game the way they're playing defense. But against that offense up in New England, it didn't matter.
All right.
Well, Steve, the Saints defense has really, we do have one thing going for us. We've got some very fast, they're small, but we got a fast, good coverage secondary. Not a whole lot of big plays, so that the other teams, you know, if you make them run enough plays, they'll screw up. And then we're a little better inside the red zone because you have your end zone behind you. So, yeah, Mike's right. It's points, and if we can get them, you know, it doesn't matter what the other team does. It's whoever scores the most points.
People are going to be watching NBA Sunday. It's the opening of the season, Christmas Day in the NBA.
Stop it.
I actually think there'll be a lot of people watching. There are NBA fans. I think you've got some big games there. You know, Dallas is rematching with Miami, aren't they, Steve?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And so there's some games people are going to watch, and it's Christmas, and there's no football, for crying out loud. So.
Well, Mike, I talked to somebody else, and as soon as the Stop It stuff comes out, that guy wants one too. So
we're making that clothing now. It's going to be a multi-million-dollar deal.
Stop it.
But I'll get you since I just saw some renderings yesterday for my son, so they look pretty nice.
Well, I want a shirt with your face on it that says "Stop It." That's what I want.
Well, that's what we got.
I want to buy some, and then we're going to give them away on the radio. And I guarantee you, every phone line I have will ring and light up if I offer that. There's no.
it's silly. You know, sometimes I mean that's just something I've always said because after a while you start listening to people, you go, "Stop it," because it's crazy, you know. Some of this stuff gets way out of whack. And by the way, you're going to have sun down there, Steve, because it's very sunny in Chicago right now.
All right. Good to hear. All right. What's weird, Johnny, is that I'm talking to both of you, and looking up here on ESPN on the screen, I see Mike Ditka. Are you in a top hat and a promo? I mean, these guys get you in all kinds of stuff.
Oh, and that's where I do the Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, humbug and all that stuff. But it's kind of cute.
Johnny, is Mike good on camera or what?
Well, Steve,
I mean, come on, really?
Absolutely great, and it's fun. I love it. Whenever I see Mike, whenever you coming up on whatever, I'll stop because I want to hear what it is.
But he's good at it. I mean, you could have had a career as an actor. I mean it.
But Steve, I used to do that before I met Mike.
You know what, John? That's right. And you know, and the thing about an actor, you know, I priced myself out of the market. I people in Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, now I'm watching you with the mini mic on the Coors beer. I mean, it's just amazing how much you're out there. And again, you're so watchable. And when you were here for that fundraiser just a month ago, I mean, even up on stage when the lights went on for you, it was just unbelievable. People still are talking about the fact that you were here was big, but what you said was so compelling and riveting. You'd said seemed the things that people just hadn't heard before. So, I mean, I tell you what, when the lights go on, Mike, it's amazing. You have a real talent there.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm going to trick them as long as I can.
You know something, too, Mike. It looks like, I don't know, but it looks like you guys have fun doing those commercials.
Yeah, we do. We really do. I mean, I'm the guys I work with are good guys, and we have fun. You don't have to agree on everything, but I think that's what makes a show good. If everybody says the same thing or agrees on the same thing, not much you can do.
Is Chris Berman as good a guy as he seems?
I like Chris Berman a lot. Now, I've had somebody come up and ask me, and they told me that they thought that they heard some stories that Chris wasn't very nice. I said, to me, he's the nicest guy, one of the nicest guys I've ever met. I really like him. I think he's a real pro at what he does. Yeah. He really works at it.
Yeah. All right, to baseball, Cardinals signed Carlos Beltran, who I think will really help, not necessarily replace Albert Pujols, but certainly Carlos Beltran, pretty good addition to that Cardinal lineup.
Well, he really is. I mean, you know, Pujols. I'm too old to figure this out. I mean, I don't know the difference in money, how much difference it could be, but you know why you'd move from the Cardinals, I don't know. So I got a gift yesterday from somebody. It was a book, and it was called A Baseball Life, and it was Dan Musial. I'm gonna read it. He was my childhood hero, and so I'm gonna read it.
What kind of money did Beltran get, Stevie?
Yeah, $13 million 2 years, $26 million total for 2 years.
Okay.
And again, he's a good bat, can definitely do some Berkman-type numbers with 20-some homers, maybe 90 RBIs, but a good pop. He's like 35, 36 years old. One thing I would say to Deidre Pujols, and I think Pujolses are good people, good God-fearing people, good, but don't go on the radio and say just how unbelievably offended you were by only a 5-year initial offering for Albert of all he did for the Cardinals, all this stuff. We can't relate to $150 million for 5 years. Even I know you think it's just unbelievable that they would make that offer. To us, it seems like a lot of money. So just what they should have done is just say, listen, we love St. Louis. It's been awesome. We always will be Cardinal fans. Just say that and just leave. That's it.
Well, first of all, anybody that thinks he's worth that money is foolish anyways. And if the Angels think he's worth that, they're certainly foolish. Because baseball, as much as the individual is important, the team concept again and again and again comes through. And I thought that was the best thing about the Cardinals last year, is that they played well as a team. Yeah, I mean, Pujols, really, in the big series, he really didn't do that much. He had one game, didn't he?
No, that's right. One game, game three,
one
Johnny.
Game where he did the home runs.
Well, actually, other than the three home runs, which were great, but they would have won the game anyway, he was one for 32.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, this could be a big bust out there to me. I mean, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I think when you get in a situation playing for an organization like the St. Louis Cardinals, I think that would be something you would appreciate. And what difference does it make if you make $1 million a year when you're making 30?
Nothing.
But it's something about showing the love. He didn't feel, like, oh, they really wanted him or what. Yeah. And it's just a head shaker because
it's a business. They got to understand it's a business on his side. It's a business on their side. But, you got to understand one thing. There's no loyalty. I found that out. There's no loyalty between ownership. There's no loyalty between fans. Basically, there's no loyalty. Well, the fans are the most loyal.
They're the
and
most
the players
loyal.
Aren't loyal.
Yeah. Well,
they're the ones that really get their feelings hurt, and they're the ones paying out and not getting a whole lot of money back. But when you watch your team win the World Series, it's worth it. But, speaking of St. Louis, Steve, Fighting Illini, Mike had a game with the Missouri, who's a good basketball team, and we played very well in the second half. And almost should have won that game, Steve. I thought they played great that second half.
No, it was a different basketball team. This kid, Joseph Bertrand, wow. So it gives me a little more juice. Now, I don't know if you can have a must-win in basketball on December 27, but our next game is Tuesday at the Assembly Hall. Big Ten's going to be pretty tough. But hopefully Illinois can win that first one. But, the Illini lost 78-74 last night, but a darn good second half.
One thing Bob Knight was saying the whole game, that Myers Leonard doesn't need to spend more than about 2 minutes away from the rim on either end of the court. So, and I think that's right. He just needs to be close to the basket. Because when he played down and we get the ball, we got a 7'2" guy, Mike, that's really going to probably go pro. I mean, he's great. So he's going to be a center. But that was out of St. Louis last night.
Yep.
And
I saw the score flash up early on ESPN, but I went to sleep, I'll be honest with you. I was sleeping at 8:30. So.
Well, we were getting beat by 14, but they really came back and went ahead in the last minute. And, we didn't make a shot. They did, but whatever.
Right. It was a good fight, good toward the end. All right, well, let me ask you two more quick things. I'll let both of you go. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. The Iowa caucus, of course, is just days away now. It's just all over the board. We're seeing that, Ron Paul's in first, Mitt Romney. You got Newt Gingrich fading a little bit because of all the negative commercials. Mitt Romney sat with George W. Herbert Walker Bush yesterday, and 41 essentially put his support behind Mitt Romney. Will that matter at all in Iowa, Johnny?
No.
Okay.
No.
And the Iraqi situation, 14 bombs go off, a week after the troops leave. What happens? We don't want to lose it, but what do we do with? Do we involve ourselves anymore?
Well, that's a whole other subject. But I tell you what, I would have never gone into Iraq, to be honest. But we were in there, and I probably would have never got out. Colin Powell, remember Mike? He says, "If you break it, it's yours." And what he meant was this totalitarian structure that just brutally kept all these tribes and sects in line, or they just shot anybody got out of line. If we break it, it's ours. And now we just left, and I don't think, I always thought once we did get in there, it did draw fire. I thought all the terrorists were focused on getting the infidels out of the center of the Arab world, which is where Iraq is. They didn't care about Afghanistan. It's a throwaway country. That's why Obama was allowed, Osama bin Laden was allowed to go in there in the first place.
Yeah.
But Iraq was different. Now we've left, it's going south, which isn't that surprising. And worse, our enemies can now get back to what they want to do, which is plot against us. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, but do we get involved again to see if...
I don't think we will, Mike. But
blood and treasure. I mean, if we spent all that time, all that money, all those lives, how can you let that go again?
Well, I will say this right now. There's what those kids did for us is protect us for 10 years. So that's not lost. But what about the next 10? Yeah. And that's what we've got to see. And
I don't think any of these candidates are going to go back into there. I mean, I really don't. I mean, you listen to these people, you know. But actually, Ron Paul is basically an isolationist. I mean, he doesn't want to have too much to do with anybody in the world.
He's not going back anywhere.
No.
But it's not that bad sometimes. But, I mean, we can't be big brother to the whole world. I mean, we've been that way. We've kind of been the watchdog. But somewhere it's got to stop, you know. These people... they have no respect for this country, and a lot of these people in these countries have no respect for America. And therefore, you know, I think that we've got to be smart enough to hold ourselves aside. And I think Russia does a pretty good job of that. I have to say that, don't show your hand too quick.
But I'll tell you too, and that's just a big tough issue for any president.
No question.
Okay? For any.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you the big story out of Iowa, Steve, is Obama's polling with the older voters, the younger voters, the college students, the independents, and the Hispanics. About one out of three of whom have said, "I voted for Obama and I'm not voting for him again."
Yeah.
What that means to me is, it doesn't matter, whoever. Yeah. They may not say I like Newt Gingrich. They may say I'm not voting for Paul. But they've already said I'm not voting for Obama. And if half of them stick to it, Obama's not going to be able to make it.
Well, but $1 billion later, it'll be interesting to see what they say.
$1 billion is to get you to say I'll vote for you. If you've already said you're not, he can't pay that particular individual.
Yeah.
It's the money in politics. We've seen people spend a lot of money who've lost races. All money can do is get the people to know you. You can try to spin it, but we know the president pretty well right now. There's not a whole lot of mystery. You know, he's kind of a philosopher. He's got a high ideology. He's not driven as much by politics as some president, which may be bad because he's going to do it his way, and he doesn't care. Mm. So I think we know him, and no amount of money is going to change that.
All right, I'm going to leave it there. Monday, we're back, I guess. I'm here the 26th. Monday, Mike, are you going to be in Connecticut?
I'll be in Connecticut. Well, yeah, we got a show that night.
Well,
we've got a game that night with the Saints and the Falcons.
We'll catch up and reconvene, but I want to wish you both a blessed Merry Christmas. Very thankful to live in America, and we thank both of you for always sharing on Mondays and Fridays. It's awesome to have you on.
Well, thank you. Merry Christmas to everybody, and enjoy yourself. You know, we're very fortunate. I went by the Rehab Institute yesterday, and let me tell you what, we're very fortunate.
Yeah,
Merry Christmas, Mike,
right.
And tell your family Merry Christmas, and Diana, and Stevie J.
Yep.
We'll be talking. I'll have to call those triplets.
All right, guys. God bless you.
Merry Christmas, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. And brought to you by Tim Mooney Ford in Tuscola. You want to go see Tim Mooney Ford. Great guy. Lots of great cars and trucks. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, brought to you by Tim Mooney Ford.